think about pain, so let's do that. Pain is tricky because the way we look at it is not quite helpful. There are people who are able to dissolve pain by taking a pill. There are people who are able to get rid of pain by doing a meditation and visualization. Acupuncturists get pain away by putting a needle somewhere totally differently. And there are people who have a totally different kind of perception on pain. The starting point which I would like to use for pain is that it is a sign of disconnectedness. Later on I will need to go into the difference between electric and magnetic, and actually need to connect pain to part of cell communication, thus it is part of the body language, and in a way that means that pain is also connected to the kind of lights and bleepers and things on the dashboard of a car. So on a car or airplane or vehicle, there are all kind of indicator lights which alert to a change of state. So you have the amber lights as a warning, the red lights as you really need to do something about it. You have the buzzers which sort of make you aware for something, and the beepers which make sure that you will be more prone to respond to something, and pain is part of that kind of signal. It's not something that you see, not something that you hear, but something that you feel, but still it is a vibration. And the vibration is a signal of a kind of disconnection or impending disconnection. And in any case, there is something where the body feels that it no longer knows what to do, and trying to resolve that by, in a way, starting an emergency protocol. It's trying to look for connections. It is liberating energies, activating, let's call it the equivalent of an immune system, the learning system, the problem-solving system, but it is not directed in the proper place yet. It's like the fire brigade is out, but they don't know where the fire is as yet because they need help. So let me first go to the connection of disconnection and pain, fear, depression and death, because those are the signals of depression, of disconnection, of loss of interest, loss of involvement in body, mind, soul and spirit. If the connection to body is lost, you feel pain. If connection to the mind is lost, or if the mind feels a loss of connection, it is called fear. If the soul is losing connection, then it's called depression. And if spirit loses connection, it's called death. So let's generalize the understanding and realize that pain and fear and depression and death are simply different kinds of the same signal. And specifically, let's understand that they are signals where the body, which is 5 billion of years of experience, doesn't know how to resolve it. The body knows the normal pattern of how the dance in the body takes place, but suddenly there is something else infringing or interfering with the body. The skin is cut, and suddenly the nerves, which normally would signal, hey, I'm okay, hey, I'm okay, they start to shout around, where are you? To try to connect up with the other part of that circulation system. And in that sense, there is quite a bit of understanding of pain as a kind of messaging signal system. And there is a bit of understanding that it is in a way molecular, or perhaps rather electric, like in the neurons. And there is also an understanding that perhaps it would rather also be magnetic. But there is not much understanding as yet that it is actually a rupture of the information field that we're dealing with. People learn to avoid pain or dodge pain or not pay interest to pain, and it is the mystical school trainings that focus on body, being more aware of the body, where people start to feel more subtle processes in their body. and they start to feel something which is like pain, but it is not pain. And they start to learn that there are changes in the body which they can play with, even though they don't perhaps consciously know what they're doing. But yet they know that after the exercise, the feeling of stress is away, the feeling of relaxation has come in, the feeling of tension is dissolved, and pain can actually have disappeared. So that's where you then see a relationship again between tensions or stresses or accumulation of something and pain. And in Chinese medicine, they are dealing with the cell communication and the communication between the organs, the information flow, and the associated electromagnetic field, which has to do with that. And they are aware that at the moment there are blockages in that flow, and then the communication needs to be squeezed out somewhere, so it intensifies, which we then call pain, or it can be relayed to somewhere else, which actually leads to the opposite, that there are sections where people don't feel things anymore. So at the level of pain, we too have the same like paralysis and paresis, the cramping of the muscle or the muscle going too limp. In both cases, you can't use the muscle anymore. And likewise, there are areas where the information flow gets too dense and too intense, and the body can't process well, or the information simply gets lost, and a part of the body is just ignored in the processing, which very often means that something else then starts getting overloaded and starts to flare up as pain or as the warning signal and so on. That, by the way, is quite well understood in the meridian system. They understand that at the moment that there is a flare up or a hyperactivation of a process in the body somewhere, it could be that something has intensified and that part is actually hyperactive, or it could be that something has already burned out somewhere else and that the hyperactive space is actually a double tasking, because it needs to do its own thing, plus it needs to do what the area which has been afflicted is not doing. The explanations of pain are very often at the level of, say, chemistry and electricity, such as in the painkiller pills or in the injections of painkillers, as they're called. But perhaps it would be better to say that these painkillers and as chemistry or as electricity are instruments which cripple or lame the signal, and thus they cripple or lame the symptom. It's a bit in the same way as heart treatment makes use of beta blockers, blocking the activity of a heart rather than having the heart re-find its normal rhythm. It's a bit like driving a car with a brick on the brake, as a result of which the car can't drive too fast, but that the foot is too much on the paddle has not been resolved. In the cardiac problems, the stress by which people fuel the hyperactivity of the heart often is not resolved, and actually the people who get the beta blockers think that they can actually live in their own normal way, instead of realizing that the heart is signaling them that they are using a control system which the body cannot process well. So they actually need to shift their paradigm, they need to shift their lifestyle, they need to shift their understanding of what they do, and they need to do things differently. And pain likewise is that kind of signal. There are many levels of pain, and what I can do now is no more than a brief introduction of some ideas and aspects around pain, because to go into pain properly, it needs to address the understanding of what are cells doing, what is the cell communication, what happens when the cell communication is interfered with or when it is disrupted. How does the cell communication system change? Because the cells communicate using molecules, they use electrochemical, the chemical reactivity, they use the electrical signal, the spectral signal transfer, and they use the information field as their span, their range for communication. Pain is most often associated with a change at the electromagnetic level, and that is also because pain has been studied a lot in relationship to neuronal impulses, because there is a similarity between the triggering of pain and the triggering of a neuron, and a lot of pain is actually a secondary effect of a hyperactivation of neurons, or a misregulation of the rhythms of the neurons, or a misappropriation of the signal from the neurons. So in that sense, you can say that there is a parallel between pain and the neurons, but that does not mean that pain is neuronal. And that shift of the pain and the neuronal to involve other things can be seen from the kind of responses that there are in the solutions that people have found to abate or resolve the pain signal. Often that is a numbing of the signal of the pain. For example, putting ice on a sensory cell, as a result of which that sensory cell is switched off, made inactive, and then the signal can no longer come through, and you've done no more than symptom treatment. You've stuck a bit of black tape on the indicator light on the dashboard, and you drive on happily without seeing that the red light is still blinking. And so a deeper level of understanding is needed. And when you go to the deeper level, you can say that the first level of pain dissolution is blocking the sensory cell. Then the second level would be the blocking the nerve. And actually, in quite a number of pain treatments, nerves are simply cut, which means that you throw away the thermometer and won't know that there is a fever anymore. But you haven't solved the problem of the body, because the problem is shouting out loud, please help me here, something is no longer connecting and I don't know how to reconnect it. Help me. Cutting the nerve does not do that. The next level of a plexus block, which is where a pain blocker would be put on a node in the relay system, is no more than symptom treatment either. So you want to do something else. And at that level, you could actually learn from a plexus blocker, because in the plexus blocker, the neurons that go into a plexus, actually they are like the retina of the eye. They cross-compute. They have their pulse sequence of their Fourier code of the signal that goes through the neuron into this sing-song of this whole group of neurons woven together in the plexus. And together they make this hum, and as a result the signals can also go back and can recalibrate the neuron. So there is that way to actually reverse the signal and thereby have the pain signal or the pain trigger recalibrated or reset. And it's quite interesting that procaine is a substance which in the body is injected for pain treatment, but it is also used by neural therapy to actually block areas where pain has been, say, accumulated. And the idea which has come up as a result of that is that there are regions in the body where you have a circulation of an eddy current. It's like a thought has been captured in the body and it's turning around and round and round in circles. And when you put the procaine into that area, it in a way discharges the charge of that electrical circulation. The tornado which is blowing there sort of collapses, and out of that reset can be conditioned. This model has originated from the understanding of chiropractors, or the bone crackers as they're also called. They know that if you pull apart the connections between bones, then the surfaces of the bones, where there are sensory receptors which actually know the position, or rather the change of position of the one part of the joint versus the other part of the joint, they are pulled apart, they lose their contact. In a way they have this sense of separation, and when they come back they need to actually recompute what they are doing. And people who have had a shake against their body, jolt against their body, as a result of which their bones were taken apart in their joints for a moment and then reconnected, but as a result the position which the body remembered of where the bone was is not correct versus where the bone actually is. The result is that the muscles around the bone start to misfire, miscompute. They pull too much on the one side and not enough on the other side. They are not pulling straight. So they overtire the muscles on the one side because they undertire the muscle on the other side. And that leads to the muscle tensions, and that can lead to muscle pain. And what a chiropractor then does, it re-disconnects the joint of the bone, but now has the bone center in its position when it resettles, as a result of which the muscles then can rebalance out in that new position. So this kind of understanding of the recalibration of the positioning of the muscles and the way they pull on the bones, and the use of the procaine in the neural therapy pain discharge, has led to that kind of understanding that in the body information is stored in an exchange in areas in the body, and that sometimes memories are actually stored, especially if they are repressed memories, they're stored in the body. You don't remember it, but body remembers it. But as a result of the body having that information tornado stored there, other processes cannot take place there, and that is in its way similar to the dislocation of the joint, as a result of which the muscles pull crooked and the organization of the body is disrupted by that. So with this kind of understanding, you would be able to expect that if pain has that connection to stored and repressed memories, then it is possible to reset those pains by resetting the memories. And this is where you then shift in your treatment approach from the procaine injection of neural therapy to perhaps the meridian in insertion of a needle to reset the rhythm between the organs, or the balance between the muscles, due to which the muscles can do a reset and thereby recalibrate their position and retune their activity so that the balance is restored. Again, pain is a sign of loss of connection and loss of balance. So what you need have the restoration of the connection, restoration of the balance. And in acupuncture theory, and also in the practice of applied kinesiology, you can actually see this happen. In kinesiology, there are the Golgi receptors in the muscle, and they are like the fine-tuned sensors to know how much tension there is on a muscle. Because if you want to be able to move a joint, then the muscle on one side, the muscle on the other side, the agonist and the antagonist, they need to balance out in their forces, and they need to balance out in their acceleration when they pull. They must be equally strong, they must be equally trained, and they must be equally agile to be able to respond. And in the muscle there is a little reset knob, so to say, which you can stretch, as a result of which the muscle signal information believes that the muscle has been stretched, or you can press them together, as a result of which the information system thinks that the muscle has been pushed together. And that actually loosens or tightens the tension on the muscle. In applied kinesiology, this is used to test if the muscle is functioning. Afterwards, it is reset so that the muscle can function properly. It is this kind of reset that happens at all kind of levels in our body. And if this reset is not done properly, then you can use the meridian system to recalibrate these checkpoints of the tensions of the muscles. But in the meridian system, they also equate to the activities of the dynamics in the organs, and they also equate to the sensitivity of the sensory system in our environment. And in that sense, using the meridian system, you can rebalance these systems with respect to each other, and then by recalibrating them, their relative proportions of activities can be balanced out, as a result of which the disbalance indicated by the pain can often be resolved. So yes, you can use pills, and yes, you can use procain, and yes, you can use the meridians to resolve pain. But as I mentioned before, often pain is based on a stored tornado locked somewhere in the body, pressing away the normal functions, interfering with the normal functions, but still it is a memory of something that happened in the environment which simply has not been processed, which hasn't been resolved. Let's simply call it has not been digested. And this is also knowledge that comes from applied kinesiology, because there they learned that at the moment that people address their unresolved traumatic experiences and connected to the meridian system, they quite literally are able to then dissolve and resolve the trauma, because they're actually literally being digested. Then as a result of this digestive process, the traumatic experience no longer plays a role, it no longer interferes with the body, processed at that level, and the normal functionality can be restored, which would be the pain-free solution. Hypnosis is one of the many methods which are able to do that. And there are nowadays very many forms of hypnosis. NLP, emotional freedom technique, all of them make use of a similar kind of methodology, that they use the signal that there is something wrong as the starting point for the quest of the realization that there is a memory or an experience locked in the body and interfering with the normal body processing. Then the question is, what is that memory and where is it located in the body? And Rieke Geert Hamer has made a table of locations of tensions in the body as a result of specific kind of traumatic experiences in life. There are many other ways by which you can then zoom in onto the location of this traumatic memory being stored or lodged in the body. And then you can go into it, you can activate that memory, and in the hypnotic techniques it is quicker to actually not address the memory but address the circulation, the situation, and discharge the emotional charges before you actually go into the memory. So there are many people have found very good techniques for that. And then once you go into the memory, you let it go. Emotional freedom technique makes the use of the same kind of methodology as used in applied kinesiology. It calls up the memory or the experience or the pain or the fear, and then activates the meridian system by affirming that I can actually now let this go. I know that I have this memory, I can feel that I have this pain, I sense that I have this fear, but actually it doesn't help me, I can let it go. I do not need to keep it. So by activating the digestive system, the body can then let go of it. It needs to get the help to know where to put it, in this case to let it go. In hypnosis, there is a lot of experience of how such traumatic memories can be addressed, how they can be found, how it can be transformed, how they can be discharged. And by resolving that part of the psyche, getting rid of that vortex in the body, then the body is free to operate in its normal way again. There are many different techniques which came to this kind of conclusions. For example, neurofeedback treats people with pains and fears and other kind of afflictions. And in the neurofeedback, they measured the brainwave frequency. In general, you could say that there's beta, alpha, theta, and delta for the outside world, the dream world, the organ world, and the cell world. In neurofeedback, they simply measure, are the frequencies in proportion to what they normally should be? And if not, then they have a feedback technique so that they can increase the wave band which is too little, or can calm down the wave band which is too active. And very often it is then discovered that when the wave bands are balanced out, that people suddenly remember what traumatic experience they had. And so then you can see that this shift in the brain frequencies, which are actually shifts in the body frequencies, are the result of the body normal processes being dislodged by that memory taking up space in there. So in that sense, there are other methods which have discovered that unresolved trauma is stored in the body, can interfere with the body, and thereby can create the fears and the pains. Also, using neurofeedback, they discovered that a lot of people who have this kind of traumatic experience lodged in their system, they look for painkillers, and instead of going to the doctor, they go down to the neighborhood help desk, and they find the cocaine, the heroin, the morphine, or whatever it is, as auto medication, a self-medication to treat their pain. But as this is the case with the medical pharmaceutical approach, the self-medication approach likewise does the symptom treatment, but it does not resolve the issue. So the people who are drug addicts very often have such a traumatic experience lodged within them. They cannot address it because of the lock-in syndrome which protects that kind of traumatic experiences. They cannot resolve it because when they treat it with the painkiller, the moment that the painkiller wears off, the memory of the pain or the traumatic experience is still there. And as a result of the buildup of tolerance for the painkiller, it will come up higher and louder and stronger after more of the self-medication or doctor medication. So that's why it is unnecessary to understand that the pain is a signal by which the cells let you know that they need help to restore their connectedness. If you don't know how to do it, then there are many healthcare self techniques by which you can find out what's going on. Otherwise, there are lots of mutual care techniques by which with somebody else you can find out what's going on. And if necessary, there are specialized techniques by which somebody can help you find out what's going on. In general, pain, fear, depression, and death are indicators that there was a traumatic experience, a life shock, as it could be called, which interfered in your self-image versus your world image. There's a kind of a derailment of your connection between yourself and your universal self. The way to remedy that is to find the traumatic experience, and most often that means feel into the pain, accept it, breathe through it, and as a result of your attention being there, the body knows that it needs to find the solution there, and deeper level of the body come into play. And most often when people breathe into the pain and blow away the pain and keep on doing that, they will find that the pain becomes more and more and more intense as the alertness and the awareness to that pain spot increases. But at some point something switches, the charge is discharged, and let's say the mind knows what the body is suffering, the two can reconnect and then they can sort it out. In some cases, if things are broken, other help is needed, but then it is basically the same. That the mind needs to know what the body needs, and in that case it is a splint for the broken bone or something else. So there might be levels of reconnection that need to be taken care of, but the principle is the same. Look for the pain, breathe into it, connect into it, and you'll experience that it sort of implodes, and that the pain collapses because the pain point where the problem really is becomes visible, and then it can resolve. And actually it is the same for suppressed and hidden fears and pains, the ones that are locked in and the people no longer know that it is the case. They no longer know that they had this horrible, horrific experience, which in a way they still relive and relive, relive within a recess of their body mind. And that is actually the story of hell and purgatory, that the traumatic experience is locked into its own little refrigerator. It's called being held off for the rest of the system. It's put in isolation. And around that isolation, there is a kind of insulation shield, like the insulation of the refrigerator, which is called purgatory. And actually it's where you can feel the frost of the hypercooling of that isolated memory and traumatic experience. But when you feel it, paradoxically it can feel as if it is hot, which is why purgatory is often described as a ring or a range of fire. And people who learn to meditate, they become more sensitive to what happens in their body. They become more aware of those kind of disturbances in their body. They can start to feel the areas where something is still rumbling or hidden painful, and they can they can detect that when they go into the pain goes stronger and stronger, and then suddenly it sort of folds inside out. They might have the memory of the traumatic experience come by, and they might realize that yes, something horrific happened, but actually it is no longer important. and the body is free of it. And in the same way, in meditation, they can detect that there are areas where actually they don't feel things, that they don't feel pain, but they identify that there's something amiss because there's something dead there, something not alive there. And often it is something which has been sealed off, but let's say more efficiently. It's like it has scar tissue over it instead of wound tissue. And there too, once they are through that, then they can come into the traumatic experience. And often out of that traumatic experience comes a kind of learning of what they could have done differently at that time. And as a result, they then will know how they can do it differently next time around. There's a lot more to say about the pain mechanism, because when you understand that it is cell communication but interrupted, then immediately you can understand that cell communication ranges from the molecular to the chemical, to the electromagnetic, to the photonic, the quantum field, or the radio information field, so that all of those levels are involved. Once you understand that it is about a local distortion of the communication, then it will be evident that if cells are afflicted, then organs will have that problem too. So the organs between them will need to find out how they now need to function or can't function together, so that a chemical or organic rebalance is needed. Once you understand that it is a disruption in information, then you are also alert and aware that something happened, and that a memory was created, but the memory was not processed, it was not digested well. So you need to look at the information level and need to actually quite literally recompute what happened, look into the memory, accept it, breathe into it, and realize that it is not actually what's happening around you now, and that the body can actually let go of it. Or if you are at a broader level of understanding of this, then you know that pain, fear, depression, and death are actually mismatches between your self-view and your worldview, and that you actually need to look differently at yourself, and you need to change your behavior, that you actually when you learn to walk, you need to keep your balance, and then you won't fall and bump your knee. Or when you're on your bicycle, don't get distracted by things that you talk or think about, and you won't bump into the tree. And when you're driving, don't get emotional, don't get distracted by what's going on the radio, what somebody else is saying, or what you are thinking about, and you will be able to drive the car without making errors and mistakes, mishaps. And in general, when you meditate more and you realize that your body is your vehicle, then you can also get that understanding that your world image and your self image are actually based on the world image. And your self image is a construct that you made, and it is more probable that you are wrong than that the universe is wrong. By the same word, other people can be wrong, but they also might be right, so that the signal of pain, fear, depression, and death is actually an invitation for you to pay attention, to connect the body processing and the metabolic processing to what's happening, and to realize that you need to look at the larger scope and scale of things, and need to realize that somehow you or your body don't know actually what's going on, so you need to look at how does this work at the universe level. And once you reconnect to that universal level, the information will be available to know what of that experience belongs to you and what does not. And in a sense, you then know if you need to chew it well and swallow it, digest it, and poop it out again, or if you can simply spit it out and puke it out and be gone, done with it. So there is a lot of learning in that, and the learning actually comes from understanding that pain is a signal, that you can learn to do it, how to work it, but actually it's a bit like weeding the garden. it really works better if you don't wait for the whole garden to be full of weeds. And so it does help to not ignore pain and not ignore the feedback that you get in your life, but to practice meditation, meditation as medication, because then you can pull out the weeds when they are small, and you will actually have the garden tuned to into harmony, because you will be very alert of things that are maybe potentially can go wrongish before they happen. And that is where your self-awareness computes out of the relationship between your self-image and your world image into the environment in a, let's say, a larger and more subtle manner, so that you're aware of more things and more subtly aware of things, so that you can actually better prevent mishaps. And to bring it to a closure, pain in that sense is indicator light on the dashboard, an invitation to connect mind and body, and thereby learn to know what the body knows about the normal process, what does your soul know about the normal process, get the information from both sides together, know that what went wrong is something that you can learn from, and then reintegrate yourself in the environment, because that is what the call of pain, fear, depression, and death is all about.